you like listening to Ron Van Dam because you're not picky. Come on, I'm just saying what we're all thinking. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
You're not picky, huh?
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
I'll show you picky. Hey, did you ever think that maybe I chose not to have you listen? Huh? How's it feel now? It's true. If you're listening to the program right now, at the beginning of the program, we have chosen you. You are among the chosen few to listen to the program. A beam of light has come down from the heavens and chosen you. You are the chosen. So congratulations. You don't win a car, but you can listen to the show. I mean, what would you do if you won a car? Seriously, drive it? I mean, come on. I got a little postcard from my mechanic. I have a mechanic, by the way. Yes, I do. And the mechanic sent me a postcard in the mail, and said, Ron, it's time to rotate your tires. And I thought, I don't even know what the hell you're talking about. I have four tires on my car. Why would I rotate them so that a stranger wouldn't know which tire was on? Is that like the shell game? All right, which was the left front tire? I can't tell. You've rotated them. That's right. Before the winter season, which seems like a century ago, I bought four new tires because one of my tires was getting low. And my mechanic, of which, again, I have one, said, well, you can't just replace one tire. You have to replace both tires in the front, if that's the case, because they have to match. And once you get new tires in the front, those front tires really should be the same quality as the ones in the back, otherwise you're going to cause stress on the chassis. And I said, look, you can't even spell the word chassis. And secondly, so I got to buy one tire, which means I have to buy four tires? He said, yes, that's right. I said, look, this is absolutely absurd. Why do they have to make cars with four tires? It's so they can make more money on the tires? Is that what it is? Rotate my tires. Come on. I wonder if mechanics rotate their wives every once in a while. I think that's a good idea. For them, not for me. For them. Let's get that straight. Welcome to the program. I am Ron Van Dam. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. If you're not familiar with me, now you are. You have no excuse whatsoever. I have an interesting guest coming up later in the program. I find the guests interesting every once in a while. You probably do as well. I don't know. We all put our pants on the same way over our heads. That's an old joke. Thank you. I keep using it. Oh, my God. Someday we'll all be vaccinated and the world will be a better place. But until then, keep your distance from me, please. Seriously. I mean, this is getting absurd. Stay away from me. 6 feet? Not far enough. No. How about 6 miles? There you go. Now we're talking. We'll do everything virtually. You virtually annoy me, basically. All right, kids. Thanks. How you doing, by the way? You feeling all right? Yeah, I know. I ask on every show. I make sure you're feeling okay. I went to the mall a couple of days ago. Oh, no, it was last year. No, it was Tuesday. And I have no concept of time, by the way. I have no concept of time whatsoever anymore. I don't know what I had for dinner last night, nor what I had for dinner 20 years ago. Same thing. I just don't care. I ate it. I swallowed it. I think it's been disposed of through my biological empty system, but I just don't know. I don't even care. Although I still enjoy people who send me pictures on Snapchat of food and on Facebook or just simply a message. It's just a picture of food, of what they're having for dinner. They're so impressed with what they're having. And it works for me. I used to malign that, like, oh, right, now we're sending pictures of what we're eating for dinner. What a stupid social network that is. Now I'm realizing that's kind of fun. I like seeing your food pictures. If you cook something really nice and it looks really tasty, just like in the magazines, you know, when they take pictures of food in the magazines, you know, that kind of thing, perfect lighting, perfect coloring on the plate, perfect plating, garnishing. If you're eating something like that, do take a picture and email it to me, because I get off on that. I love to cook. I love to eat. And I love pictures of food. They just, why not? Why not? It's ronvandamshow@gmail.com. ronvandamshow@gmail.com. If you don't know how to spell my name, just look it up on whatever you're watching or listening to this thing on. It should have my name spelled out. I don't have the time to spell it out for you. It's no point. You're not going to write it down anyway. But I love looking at pictures of food. Keep them coming, man. Keep them coming. I figure that way I don't have to eat. I'll just look at pictures of food and get filled up that way, and I'll lose a lot of weight, and I'll be on the cover of a magazine with a plate of food. I think that'll work. So I went to the mall. Oh, Ron, geez. Man, stick to the concept, man. You wandered off on that one like crazy, man. You're like a 90-year-old man going for a walk and not coming home. You gotta focus. I'm talking to myself, by the way. You may have realized this is not an audience participation program, so I need to react to myself while I'm doing this in order to keep things sane. And that doesn't sound sane, does it? How are you, by the way? You feeling all right? Good, good. So I went to the mall, and as you know, a lot of stores have been closing because of this pandemic I just heard about last week. And it's almost the one-year anniversary of everything shutting down. So anyway, so I went to the mall, and this empty store was taken over by the United States Army. You've heard of them? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And what they do is they recruit young people to go into the Army or some branch of the service to protect our country from ourselves. Yeah, I know. We have more terrorism from our own people than we do from other countries. Figure that out. I think you did. That's a sorry thing, isn't it? Watch out for the terrorists. From what country? This one. Oh, God. Oh, man, you serious? Yeah, I am serious. Anyway, so the United States Army, they had a little poster in the window of this abandoned store, and it said, join the U.S. Army or something to that effect. I didn't go in there because I'm not interested in joining, because I have a dentist appointment on Monday, so I can't do that. But anyway, or I could serve in the National Guard. But again, skin doctor next Thursday, can't go. It's hard to get an appointment with these people, with these dermatologists. So anyway, so I look through the window, and what I see is a couple of desks set up. No furniture, no pictures, just an American flag and a couple of desks and a computer and a printer. And these two guys who apparently were in the Army, I guess. The way I could tell they were in the Army, they were both dressed in camouflage outfits. And I felt like walking into the store and saying, you know, by the way, I can see you. But these are people in the Army. I don't know if they have the ability to arrest me on sight for being a jerk. But why take the chance? So I didn't walk in and say, hey, nice camouflage suits. I can see you. Now, I know that the camouflage suits are not so you can see them in public in a mall. It's they're just wearing the uniforms because I think that's the only clothes they give them. Yeah, I don't know. They give them camouflage outfits, which consists of camouflage boots, camouflage underpants, a camouflage jacket, and camouflage outer pants, and I can still see them very clearly. They stick out like a sore thumb because they're the only people wearing camouflage outfits. Had they dressed like the normal public, I would have never noticed them. But here's a couple of guys wearing camouflage outfits. And here's the funniest part of the whole thing. For some reason, people in the service in camouflage outfits love to wear sunglasses. These guys were inside in an office with a couple of desks, American flag, printer, computer, and they're wearing sunglasses. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, again, I can see you. Why are you doing that? I guess they thought they looked cool, or or they're trying to attract young kids to join the service, trying to show how cool it is. I mean, what could be more cool than wearing sunglasses and a camouflage outfit? I don't know. I have to get some camouflage clothes. If you don't dress well, you know, or your clothes are getting dirty or ratty or something, wear camouflage stuff all the time. No one will ever know you're there. Ever, you know. You could be standing at a deli in a supermarket, you know, at the deli counter. Next, please. Excuse me, I was next. Oh, I didn't see you. You're wearing a camouflage outfit. You blended right into... Absolutely not. You blended into the dairy case. You're so camouflagey. I didn't even know you were here. That's an amazing camouflage outfit. I want to remain anonymous. Put a camouflage outfit. You know, no one will see you. I guess people, when they go hunting, they wear camouflage outfits at 6 in the morning. I think they wear camouflage outfits because you don't have to choose what you're going to wear. It's the camouflage outfit. And then they go into the woods and they dress up like the trees in the background, I suppose. And supposedly, wildlife is incredibly dumb when it comes to recognizing human beings in camouflage outfits because they blend it, I guess, to a deer or to a rabbit or a fox or something or whatever these people shoot in the woods. I guess to them, they can't tell that there's a human being. They just think there's a series of trees that are moving around in the wind out there with guns. I don't know how smart wild animals are. I assume they're quite smart because their only reason for living is to survive. Wow, huh? You know, with the pandemic, I kind of get the idea. We're living right now to survive. So I get it. Being a wild animal is no fun. You spend all day looking for food, and then you watch out because another animal could maul you to death or a human being could shoot you. I don't know if that's a gift of life or not. I'm not sure. You know, if I walked up to a deer, I guess I would say, you know, I know that you're here to survive, but are you happy? Are you happy? And the deer would respond by saying, I'm not fulfilled. No, I'm not fulfilled. I spend most of my time looking over my shoulder, make sure someone isn't out to kill me or to eat me. So, and it's cold out here. I don't know if you've noticed, but no, I'm not happy. I'm not happy. So, I don't know. I'm not sure about that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're wonderful. You're just great. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for being here. Do you want some information so that you can leave with coming in smarter than you were when you started listening? Well, it's my job, I suppose, to not only entertain you, but to inform you. So,
ladies and gentlemen, please prepare yourselves. It is that time again for Ron's Fact of the Day.
got nothing. I got no facts. I don't know what the facts are anymore. Boy, you know, when Trump got into office 4 years ago, the world just changed. All of a sudden, everybody didn't believe everybody else. Now, I never trusted anybody because, you know, I don't forget. But man, the world, what is a fact anymore? I mean, it's just somebody's opinion or something that somebody heard. Wow. I remember Trump used to start his press conferences or his tweets by saying people, you know, he would tweet, people are saying, and then he'd state something as fact because a couple of people were saying something. I mean, being president is not the head of a gossip column. I mean, that was just weird. I'm starting to feel like I'm waking up and pinching myself and saying, that sucked. Did it actually happen? No, couldn't have. I couldn't have. Thank God I'm out of the nightmare, but did that actually happen? Yeah, it did. It did. Not great. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break. When we come back, more program. Thank you so much for staying here. Hey, by the way, every year I have a convention. I do. There are people that honor me and consider me to be an idol. I know. I don't understand it either because I'm wearing camouflage clothes. I'm surprised I even know I'm here. But they do that. Now, this year, of course, we had to cancel the convention, but it doesn't mean that that'll happen all the time.
Hi, this is Gary Feldstetler, and I'm one of the 14 people who regularly listen to the Ron Van Dam Show. I was thinking recently that it's probably about time that we all got together to celebrate our appreciation of Ron Van Dam, and that's why I'm hosting the first ever RonCon next weekend at the Fairview Motel and Asian Massage Parlor Center. This will be a great opportunity for us to talk about what we love about Ron, wear our favorite Ron Van Dam costumes, and hold panel discussions on things like, why are those RMV people so miserable? And why does the waitress always come over when you have food in your mouth? And why do people at the next table have to be talking about their health issues when I'm trying to enjoy an eggplant rollatini? I can neither confirm nor deny the rumors that Ron Van Dam himself will make an appearance at RonCon, but that would be nice, right? So I hope to see you all there next weekend at RonCon. Most of you probably have my phone number already, so if you can't make it, just give me a call. I could probably get the deposit back on the room if this isn't a good idea, but, you know, can't hurt to try. I'm kind of lonely, like you.
Wow. Okay. the event, by the way, has been canceled. And there were more than 14 people that were going to go. Actually, there were 16, so don't go there. Okay. My guest is coming up very shortly. Not that my guest is short by any stretch of the imagination. Actually, if you stretched your imagination, my guest would be tall. So I guess that doesn't work either. Yeah. Boy, wouldn't it be nice to go to a convention or go anywhere or anything like that, huh? That'd be crazy. I went to the post office a couple of days ago. Or was it last year? Or was that the mall? I get so confused. Went to the post office. It's a small post office. There's one clerk behind the counter, and I don't think he's wearing pants, so, you know, I don't know. But they're very, very nice there. They walk, you know, I walk into the place and they're very pleased. They say, hi, how are you today? And I, whoa, someone cares about me. Isn't that weird that we go through life and the only people that care about us are the postal employees behind the counter? Isn't that odd? Hi, how are you today? I'm fine. Oh, my God, thanks for asking. Oh, do you love me too? And we do a transaction. We do the transaction, you know, and they tell me how long it'll take for the package to get there. They're just full of information. And then at the end, they always say the same thing to me, and I appreciate it. They say, do you need any stamps? And I go, whoa, wow. You're actually looking out for my well-being and my supplies. Thank you so much. They are so caring. They really are. I love the Postal Service. I just do. I hope it never goes away. I love the Postal Service. I hate the internet. See, I guess I'm not from your generation at all. I like the Postal Service. I do. I have a wonderful mail lady. A mail lady. Doesn't make sense, does it? That's two different things. How can you be a male and a lady at the same time? I don't know. But that's... She's a mail carrier. She carries mails around. M-A-I-L. Oh, I see. The spelling makes all the difference in the world. She's wonderful, though. She's pleasant and upbeat, and she's chatty and yet efficient, and I never get anybody else's mail. I don't even get my mail. Most of my mail is junk mail. Yes. Well, most of my life is junk life, so I guess it doesn't really make any difference. But, yeah, it's people trying to sell me something, and I fancifully go through it as if I'm going to buy something from these people that are trying to market the most crap they can possibly gather to see if I will buy it. They are just incredible. But I love junk mail because I revel in the fact that there aren't a lot of bills there, you know. So, you know, if there's a bill that comes in the mail, it's, oh, no. Oh, my God. There's a bill and I have to pay the bill. All the junk mail, I just throw it away. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's lovely. All these people that took the time to send catalogs and magazines and all this stuff for free, hoping that I'd buy something. I'm not. You're wasting your money printing this stuff up and then having it bulk mailed to me. I don't know how much it costs to bulk mail me something, but it's not free. You gotta pay for that shit. What are you wasting your money on me for? And I drop them little letters. I say, don't send me any more junk mail. I'm not buying anything from you. You're just making junk. Your trees are coming down for nothing. But, you know, it's better than getting bills. Yeah, bills are horrible, man. Now I'm getting bills online. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. They're actually charging me to send me a bill in the mail. See, if I get my bill through my email, then it's just the bill that I owe them. If they send it to me in the mail, there's a fee for mailing me an invoice that I have to pay them. Seriously? You're charging me to pay you? You got to be kidding me. But I do it anyway. I just, I don't know. I don't trust the internet. I don't know who that person is. I don't know who's in there. I can't open up the screws on the back of my desktop and see who's in there really sending me this stuff. I have no idea who it is. It could be somebody from Nigeria or the Philippines or Mars or Uranus. I have no idea where they're from, and they're not traceable. I can't do it. Somehow I trust the mail a lot more than I trust the internet. It's the way it works. All right. What? Okay. Time for my guest.
Ron, good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, too. Mike Amuzio joins us now. He is senior editor of KellyBlueBook.com, KBB.com. We speak to him on a seasonal basis. Last time it was Christmas. But now it's not. Good to talk to you again. They always come up with a list of interesting typed cars. And today we're talking about the coolest cars. They have a list of those. We all like cool stuff, don't we?
I certainly hope we do, because otherwise I'm not going to have much to talk about for the next 10
right.
minutes. But yes! And you know what? The season is cool cars, but I want to start this off with a question for you. Let's do a little quiz time.
Sure.
The quiz for you is, can you tell me, take a guess, what is the average transaction price for a new vehicle in America now?
I'm going to guess about $35,000.
Very good guess, but a little bit low. The actual number is $40,000. Isn't that crazy?
It is crazy. Oh, my God.
It has really jumped up in recent years. And, you know, part explanation is that Americans are favoring SUVs, and SUVs tend to cost more.
Oh, my God.
In fact, you can tell that, you know, America loves SUVs because Ford has basically stopped making cars. The only car they're going to make moving forward is the Mustang.
Yeah.
So things have changed, and things are very expensive out there. But one of the things I love about Kelley Blue Book, where I've worked for the last 14 years, is that the entire time I've worked there, we've done this list of the coolest cars under $20,000. And to me, it's remarkable that in 2021 we can still put together a list of the coolest cars under $20,000. So I think that's kind of amazing. It's a fun list to do every year. But can I start off by way of an example to kind of give you a sense of what we're talking about?
Please.
Okay. Item number one. Let's talk about the Toyota Corolla hatchback. And I think it's super interesting for a few reasons, not the least of which is that the Corolla has traditionally been a very boring car. And I think it gives you a cue of where car makers' minds are, that you can't just make another Corolla and expect people to buy it. Mm. You have to keep it interesting.
Yes.
So the latest Corolla, it has really cool styling. The Corolla hatchback in particular, to me, it has the sleek style. It kind of looks like an import tuner car from a few years ago, but that you can buy direct from your dealership. It's got this really neat, vivid blue paint called Flame Blue. You can get a contrasting black roof. So it's got all this cool style. And then you can also get it with a manual transmission. When was the last time you drove a car with a manual?
That I didn't ruin the transmission? It's been a long time.
grind.
Yes.
Smoke.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think it's super cool that you can still get a car with three pedals and a shift knob.
Yeah.
But I'm old school like that. The other thing I think is really cool about the Corolla is that it includes Toyota's Safety Sense suite of driver assists as standard equipment. So let's say you buy your sub $20,000 Toyota Corolla. Even at that price, it's going to include things like lane keeping assist. So let's say you're momentarily distracted while driving.
Okay.
The car can see the lines on the road and can automatically steer you back into your lane if you are, again, momentarily inattentive, which I think is really, really neat for a car as standard equipment, especially at that price point.
That's amazing. And it's storage-wise, when you talk hatchbacks, I mean, that's, you know, you can put stuff in the back.
Oh my gosh, cool. You can. Yeah, you know, I mean, speaking of storage, another good example would be the new Chevrolet Trailblazer. It's a subcompact SUV. Yeah. Again, you can get it under $20,000.
Really?
And in terms of cargo space, you know, it's got 25.3 cubic feet, which I don't expect people to know cubic feet, but that's a lot of space, especially for a subcompact. So, I'm an average dude, and I fit in, you know, the Trailblazer just great. And the thing I love, great color palette too. So, I mean, I can't paint a vivid enough word picture to describe the Trailblazer just in words, but it's got this neat angular design and some really cool colors. In fact, they've got this copper color that to me reminds me of like a concept car from a few years ago. So, you know, that's one of the trends we're seeing is car makers are being a little bit more daring with their color choices.
Wow. All cars are made fairly safely now, right? They have all the good safety ratings.
Oh my gosh! Yes, I mean your basic car. The crash test standards have gotten much more stringent, and so cars are very safe to crash. But the thing I think that's most remarkable, or the best crash is the one that you never have.
Well, yeah,
and the fact that both the Trailblazer and the Corolla include active safety assists to prevent a crash, I think is awesome.
See, to me, that's under the category of cool. I think cool used to mean like the fins on the back of the car looked good, but that goes way back. But now cool is like how many safety features you have and all that stuff, parking features. I mean, that's in the cool category now.
You're really right. I think Americans' tastes have shifted a little bit, largely due to the ubiquitous nature of smartphones.
Ooh,
people are used to having kind of interesting technology with them at all times, and that expectation carries over to cars. So if you look at that Trailblazer, you know, in addition to having, a neat styling and everything, inside you've got a standard 7-inch touchscreen with standard Apple CarPlay and Android Auto, meaning that all that technology from your smartphone is integrated right into the car.
Right. Yeah. I don't want to buy a car. I want to buy a cabin with wheels on it. Which is pretty.
I mean, we're getting to that point. Okay. Yeah.
What are some other good, cool things on your list?
You know what? Let me move up to our coolest cars under $30,000 for people who have a little bit more flexibility with their budget. Okay. There's two cars I'm going to point out there. Number one is the Mazda Miata. You can actually get that for under $27,000. And the Miata for me is just has long been just the ultimate in fun. I don't know if you can get more fun for less money than a Mazda Miata. It's such a fun car to drive. I know we're still in winter, but spring is just around the corner. Mm-hmm. And the idea of like flipping back that soft top and finding a windy mountain road somewhere and just kind of connecting with the world through a car, I think is just so cool. Mm-hmm. And then another one that I think is a really neat one because it's brand new is the new Ford Bronco Sport. So Ford has brought back the Bronco. They've got a big Bronco and then a little Bronco. And the little Bronco, called the Bronco Sport, is legit. It is a real deal off-roader. I spent a few days driving the Bronco Sport around the mountains in California, and it is... We drove our stuff that shocked me. The four-wheel drive system, it comes standard, and it's also got a ton of space, too. It's a small SUV, but it's got what they call a safari roof. Yeah. So the roof line kind of steps up over the rear passenger area. So there's a ton of headroom back there, a ton of cargo space, so you can, like, throw bikes in the back. And it's a really, you know, practical little package that you can go do some, again, legit off-roading in that Bronco Sport. I think it's really neat. And it looks cool. It's got that Bronco styling. I love it.
Wow. If you really want a road challenge to get through all the obstacles, it even makes it down the New Jersey Turnpike. And I think that
whoa,
is...
Whoa. Now, I mean, even the Bronco Sport has its limits.
Okay. All right. I guess I went too far. I just got a little too excited. Okay. Yeah, there's always something new. And if you go to Kelley Blue Book, they give you all the background information that you need. The more ammunition you have and knowledge, the better off you always are. I'm just happy. I mean, off subject, I'm happy that we're not walking into these places like, I'll give you $30,000. I'll tell you what, if you don't leave right now, I'll give it to you for $28,000. No, I don't want it. How about $25,000? I mean, I'm so sick of that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, the shopping trends have really, really changed in recent years. And so, I mean, people have expectations to get a safe vehicle, and they want a fair price, and they want a hassle-free buying experience.
Exactly.
And, I mean, we're kind of getting to that. So.
We sure are. We're certainly in that direction. Well, there's your cool car segment there. How do we get more information?
Just head over to where I work, which is Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com. You know, if you want to see what our cool cars are under $20,000 or $30,000, or if you're just buying, selling, or researching your car, KBB.com is an excellent resource.
Hey, always good to check in with you, Michael.
Yeah, good times. I'll see you next season.
You got it. Well, that'll do it for me today. Thank you so much. You've been wonderful as usual. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Until then, well. I wish you peace.